Not so much from the motion, but from the noise. Asleep. Ha! Laying in my bunk, with the dull rumble of passing waves, constant in this gale. But around 2100 last night, one grew louder and louder until a very intense bang hit the boat with more force than I've ever felt. Like a truck slamming into the side of the boat we went over, this time much more violent and fast. I could only think for a second that the storage unit that Bob and I built, holding over 500 pounds of tools and gear, was hanging above me, and I hope it holds. At the same time, the rattle of 100 things flying from one side of the boat to the other, as if shot from a gun. But what really alarmed me was the big bang on deck. I scrambled to the hatch, not knowing what I might find. Broken tiller, rudder, mast. Thankfully, just the spray skirts and dodger were taken by the wave. I'm very lucky once again. Luck might not be the correct word here. I put myself in this terrible place, so whatever happens is of my own doing. And what I have to do now is to try to put up more sail on a raging sea in the hope that a moving target will be harder for the next wave to find. The winds have dropped from force 10 to force 8, and I think that might be why I was just knocked down. I'm moving too slow for the conditions, and the waves are what I'm most worried about. The only sail I have set is a small storm jib, sheeted hard in the center to keep the mighty sparrow headed with the wind. So essentially, the pressure on the bare mast has been enough to keep us moving well, until now. Chapter 2. One adventure leads to another. July 13th, 2012, Mount Katahdin, Maine. Day 133, hiking the Appalachian Trail. The descent back down the last 5 miles of the Appalachian Trail created some wild emotions for me. Most hikers think of all the months of pain and suffering, the people they met, and the good times along the way. For me, it was the checking off of one adventure and the planning stage for the next. My father, Jim, had come to Maine to hike the final mountain and share the extraordinary experience that I had been having for the last 133 days. While we chatted about this and that, the gears in my head were spinning wildly. What a feeling it was to be that guy. The one that took on the massive challenge to thru-hike the Appalachian Trail, battled his way through 2,200 miles, and made it to the end. But these were not the thoughts that were bubbling up from my memory. What was coming to the surface had been sitting in the back of my mind for over 10 years. The holy grail of sailing adventures. A trip that could easily be put at the top of the toughest challenges in the world. Sail around the world, alone and without stopping. I remember clearly wondering that if I felt this good finishing the AT after enduring more than 4 months in the woods, what would it be like to sail back into port after 9 months at sea? Over the next few months, I slowly morphed from mountain man to normal everyday life. A summer job, family, and friends. Northern Michigan is a great place to be in the summer, but soon enough, the snow would be falling, and I would need to make my way south. After 5 years in the Caribbean, my resilience to the cold as a Michigander was all but gone. And as a sailor, if you want to keep working, you can't be sitting next to a frozen lake. A big component in the early stages of my planning was money. I didn't have much and I would need plenty. Enough to cover the cost of a boat, a year of sea trials, and then all the supplies that would be needed for the actual trip. After a few months of searching and some odd jobs, a big piece of the puzzle fell into place. I was going back to the Bitter End Yacht Club, returning to one of the best jobs I've ever had, water sports director. This came with the advantage of on-site housing and food. I would be able to save almost everything I could earn and still have more fun than anywhere else. I was also doing what I loved and had done for many years of my life. Just about the perfect fit for my plan. I figured 3 years would be enough time to save what I needed, and in the meantime, I would start looking for a suitable boat. Chapter 3. The Game Plan. My introduction to nonstop circumnavigating came in the books about the first attempts at solo sailing around the world nonstop in the 1968 Golden Globe race. I settled for a traditional sail along the clippership route in a small, world-cruising boat. I figured my best chance of success would be in a boat from the 1970s, something built as strong as a tank and able to bring me home safely, with the added bonus that I would be able to purchase one without breaking the bank. My route would be a bit different than the majority